Go to Joshua chapter number 1 if you have your Bible this morning. Joshua chapter number 1. And we're going to look at verse number 8. A verse that's familiar, but how many of you know just because it's familiar doesn't mean we have all the revelation of it? We're all growing in revelation. The things of God are revealed from faith to faith, the Bible says. So we want to look at this. And is it possible we could get more revelation out of this? Absolutely. Absolutely. So this is a verse that God gave this to Joshua. Moses had just gone off. He just died and went on to his reward. And Joshua's taken over. And God's giving him a key to success. Does God want you to have success?
Yes.
He didn't want you to flounder, spin your wheels, not get anywhere, struggle, but never get any results. That's not his will. Amen? He wants us to have good success. But he gives him a huge key that has changed my life, really blessed my life immeasurably. And I believe God wants us to share it with you this morning. And you might say, well, you know, I probably know all this. Well, don't tune me out because you think you know it all. I've learned that's a good way to not ever learn anything more, you know. So let's look at this with open ears, open heart. And believe God for what he has for us here. I know God's directed me this direction. So verse number 8, Joshua 1, verse 8. It says, this book of the law. Now today, we don't live under the law, but you could just say the word of God. How many of you know the word of God in the New Testament is God writing his word to us? That's God speaking to us. So we could say the word of God shall not depart out of thy mouth. Look at that. But thou shalt what?
Meditate
therein in the word of God day and night. So I want you to see that this is a big part of being a good steward of the word.
Yes.
Remember the parable of the sower, there's different kinds of ground and brought forth different results. I want to get the most results
yes.
out of the word that I can possibly get out of it. The word has it bears fruit wherever it is received.
That's right.
And so he tells us what that fruit is here in a bit. But this book of the law, the word of God, shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein. So notice the word of God is to be meditated.
Yes.
Meditated. And he said day and night. And meditation includes, according to this verse, your mouth.
That's right.
In other words, the word meditate, if you look it up, it means to mutter. Amen. You ever been working on something and you're saying, let's see here, or you're doing a math equation or something and say, 2, drop it down 3, that's 23, that's, you ever done that? You're muttering.
Yes.
You're right? And your spouse looks at you like, what are you saying? Well, see, that's what you're supposed to do with the word. This book of the law shall not depart out of my mouth. Oh, I'm supposed to put this in my mouth. You know, you're just talking to yourself while you're reading the word. Talk the word. Meditate on it.
Amen.
You're pondering it. You're thinking about it. You know, I clean up nice, but I grew up on the farm. I grew up on a dairy farm, and we had, of course, you know, dairy cattle. And I noticed whenever I was a kid, I noticed my dad explained it to me, but I noticed the cows, they'd go eat, and then they'd go over, and they'd lay down, and they'd sit there in the pasture, and they'd be chewing on something.
Yeah.
I was like, what are they chewing on?
Yeah.
I didn't understand it. I asked my dad. He said, they're chewing their cud.
Amen.
They're chewing their cud. Well, you know, I don't want to be gross, but basically they have different compartments of their stomach and they can bring back up what they ate and chew on it, mixing it with saliva and stuff, and get the rest of the nutrients out of that.
Alrighty.
How many of you know, I don't mean to liken you as a cow. I wouldn't, because you're a much higher creation than that, right? But you should have as much sense as an old gal. As after the service, you go home and you chew on what was preached.
Right. Yeah.
Amen. There's still more nutrients
that's
in there.
Right.
Yeah.
You have to forgive me for my farm boy illustrations, but so that's what he's saying. Meditate, ruminate on the word of God day and night. Now why? That thou mayest observe. Not just to do, but observe to do. Look at that. When you meditate, you're going to see something. You're going to see the word of God. The reality of it is going to dawn on you.
Yes.
And thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein in the Word of God. He said, then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. And if God didn't want us to prosper and have good success, he shouldn't have put that in there. He shouldn't tell us how to do it. Amen. How many of you know if you don't want your teenagers driving your car, you don't show them how to do it? Right? That's right. You don't tell them something. You don't tell them how to do something you don't want them to do. If you don't want them turning on the oven, or you don't want them doing something in the house that maybe could be, you know, harmful or whatever, you don't show them how to do it. And God, if he doesn't want us to prosper and have good success, he shouldn't have shown us how to do it.
Right.
Amen. You know, a lot of Christians, all the blessings of God, in their mind, all the blessings of God are when we get to heaven. Or they'll talk about the good old days. It's amazing. The devil's okay with the good old days and the future heavenly blessings, but he doesn't want anybody to believe for anything right now. But this verse is talking about good success and prosperity right now. Prosperity is not just money, you realize. How many of you know that you can have a good, successful marriage, and that's prosperity? You can have success in raising children, and that's prosperity. Praise God. You can have a sound mind that's not tormented like it used to be, and that's prosperity. There's a lot of folks that have a lot of money. They'd give anything to have a sound mind. And so, but I want you to notice, thou shalt prosper and have good success. Now, so notice, God is not mentioned in this verse. His word is, amen, but he himself is not mentioned. That doesn't mean he's not involved. Of course he is. It's his word, isn't it? But he himself's not mentioned. Notice the devil's not mentioned.
That's right.
But notice what is mentioned. You, what is it, five times there or something like that? You are in that verse, at least, I think it's four or five times. I counted one day, but I slept since then, you know. So, but that you're mentioned, and then also the word is mentioned.
Yeah, true.
So prospering and having good success is not just dependent on God. Amen. It's not dependent on the devil leaving you alone. It's determined by you and what you do with the word. Me and what I do with the word.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Now, the meditation part I've been preaching. Some of you, I don't know if you listen to the, you know, like services in Cedar Rapids or not. We've been preaching on distractions. This came real strong in my heart a few weeks ago. It challenged me. It corrected me in some things. How many of you know if it's good for me, it's good for you? If it's good for you, it's good for me. This is for all of us. But this is something God's really been talking to me about, and he continued to talk to me about it in getting ready for this service. So we're going to tag on to some things we've been saying. If you haven't listened to those services, you can go back and listen. They're on the website and on the YouTube and so forth. But I want to tag on and bring some other truths out concerning not being distracted. Now, look at this verse closely, that he said, thou shalt meditate therein day and night, you know, and keep it in your mouth. So it's meditate in the Word of God. So the Word of God is given for the purpose of bringing us the vision for our lives, you and I, the vision for our lives, bringing that into clear focus for our faith to focus on.
Yes.
Amen. The Word of God will give you a vision for what God's will is for your life. God didn't put something in his Word, you know, and then, but today in his mind or heart, he has something totally different in his mind or heart for you or for me. His word is his mind.
Yes.
His word is his thoughts written down.
Yes.
That his word are what his will is.
Yes.
We could say it different ways. His word is his plan for our lives. Or we could say it's his word is his vision for our lives.
Yes.
It's what he wants for our lives.
Yes.
We don't have to wonder, what does God want for my life? What is his will? Well, the specifics, we might have to pray about some specifics, but the general will of God's written in the Word of God.
Right.
And so when he says good success and prosperity, that's his will for us.
Yes.
If we're not having good success or prosperity, we're not walking in the will of God.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not saying that condemningly. I'm simply saying just know that God has something better for you if that's not what you've been walking in.
Yeah.
Amen. And remember what we said in the offering. This goes from this is a progressive thing.
The
Bible talks about going from faith to faith, and it talks about going from glory to glory. Psalm 115, I don't remember the exact verse, 12, 13, somewhere down and through there. The Lord will increase you more and more. He'll increase your peace. He'll increase your joy. He'll increase your favor. He'll increase your success. He'll increase everything that he has for you. And so I don't believe God wants us, if you just look at the opposite of good success, it would be failure. God never created us to fail. His word, his will is not failure. His will is success.
Amen. Thank you.
Success. Like we read in the offering, that verse is so applicable, or that teaching about prosperity is so applicable to what we're sharing here. But we're not just talking about finances.
Right.
We're talking about everything. If I, how many of you know he wants me to have a successful prayer life? Right? So don't just think of this in one area. Think of it in everything the Word of God says.
Yes, that's so good.
Successful, renewing of my mind. Success at walking in peace in troubled times.
Yes.
You know, that's the will of God for our lives. It's success in not being afraid whenever storms come or trouble or tests or trials. You could just take this in every area and it would all be applicable. But the Word of God, whatever the Word of God says, is given for the purpose of God bringing God's vision for our lives into clear view. Why? So that we can focus our faith on that. Say it out loud, faith needs focus. I've noticed that the more general people are when it comes to faith, the less faith they're actually in. You hear people that are celebrities in society for one reason or another. Take anybody that's well known in any field for whatever reason, business, sports, entertainment, whatever. You take celebrities, and they'll talk about sometimes. I'm not putting everybody in one category, you understand, but I'm just talking about from time to time. You'll see people talk about how they believe there is a God, or they believe God, or something like that. But their lives shows no fruit of that, because their faith is real general. They just believe that God exists out there somewhere. Do they believe that Jesus died for their sin? Do they, it's not something, they don't ever talk about any specifics. And I've found the less specific people are, the less they really are in faith.
This is true.
How many of you know the Word of God will give you it'll focus you down on something specific.
Yes.
Not just a general faith.
Right.
Well, I just believe the Bible. Okay, what's in the Bible? When was the last time you read it?
Right.
Amen?
Yeah.
Amen? What was Superman's friend or his little sidekick? Not Superman. The Lone Ranger. What was his? Tonto?
Tonto.
Yeah. Amen. When was the last time you read it, Tonto?
Uh-oh. Look out.
I don't know where that come from. Don't even ask me after service. I don't even know where it came from. But the point is, people, they say, I believe the Bible, I believe this, I believe that, and you go to drill down onto some specifics, and they don't really believe that.
Right, that's true. Yes, sir.
Good. This is good.
Faith is very specific. And the Word of God is, as you meditate on it, it'll bring you from a wide general view of the Word of God to something very specific to put your faith on. Hallelujah. So it'll do that. It'll give you. It's given for the purpose of bringing God's vision into clear view, so that we can focus our faith on that. Say that word, focus. That's what you're going to hear a lot about focus today. So really, I don't believe faith is really faith when it's real general. It's the specifics that people get that really makes them people of faith. And so if something's in God's word, it's God's will for your life. Never forget that God's word is his will.
Right.
When you read his word, you read his will.
Right.
That's his will for you and I. So that's what God's word is. And God isn't saying, like I said, one thing in his word, but then something completely different for your life today. It's his word is his will. And his word is his vision for your life. And so, God wants his vision that he has for your life to become your vision. In other words, that's what he means when he said, meditate there in day and night that thou mayest observe, yes. Observe mm-hmm. to do. Observe is a word that has to do with seeing something. God, you cannot meditate in God's word and not start seeing yourself the way God sees you.
The
New Testament especially is God's family, the epistles especially, is God's family photo album.
Right.
It's a picture of all of us in the body of Christ and all those in Christ realities. Everything it tells us.
Yes.
It says we're blessed with all spiritual blessings. That's not going to happen. We've already been blessed. He's seated with Jesus, us with Jesus in heavenly places. That's already happened. That's a family photo of the body of Christ.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hallelujah. And you're in there.
That's right.
And if you'll meditate on those truths, the picture God has of you in the Word will not just be, it'll not be just something you're reading in the Bible anymore. It'll be a picture you carry on the inside of yourself.
Right.
You won't see yourself as defeated. You'll see yourself as a success.
Right.
You won't see yourself as under the dominion of the devil. You'll see yourself seated with Jesus in heavenly places. Far above. Hallelujah. And that's the missing step sometimes. Believers, they try to go from just reading it in the Bible to walking in it in their life. Whenever there's a step in between there, meditation until you see it.
Right.
That's good. Mm-hmm. That's good.
Are you there?
Yes.
And so that's the picture that God has a picture painted in his word of you and I, but he wants us to see it. And that's why he told us to meditate on it. How many of you know God has a picture of you and I, but you and I carry a picture of ourselves in our own spiritual man, in our own inward man. And the picture that God has of us might not be the same one we're carrying around. But he said, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll give you my word to meditate on it so you get the picture that I have of you. Amen. You know, you don't act like who you are. You act like who you see yourself to be. That's absolutely true. And God wants you to see yourself the way he sees you. Well, somebody said, how on earth could I do that? Well, that's what we're talking about today. We're talking about focus. That's what this verse is talking about. Meditate on this day and night. Now, to do that, to meditate day and night, you have to set aside distractions from anything that's talking to you, saying something else to you other than what the Word of God says. Anything that says something else than what the Word of God says to you is a distraction that the enemy wants you to keep looking at so you'll still have the wrong picture of yourself.
Come on.
Now listen, many of his distractions have to do with past experiences.
Oh, yeah. Totally.
Or, listen to me, the family we grew up in.
Right.
Or, past failures.
Right.
And that past failures and the way we grew up and all that isn't necessarily able to keep us from succeeding today, but if the past failures give us the wrong picture of ourselves, that will keep us from succeeding today. But God gave us his word to change the picture. Hallelujah. He gave you something better to look at than your past failures. Hallelujah. And so God wants the vision he has of your life to grow in you, and that is a picture of success. So he wants that the course that his vision or your life set, for you to run your race and you run your course. He wants that to be successful. And so, if God covenanted with you to give you good success, he'll do just that. He'll give you good success. Amen. If he said he would bless everything you put your hand to, he'll do just that. He'll bless everything you put your hand to. Amen. If he said he'll give you favor in this life, he'll do just that. He'll give you favor everywhere you go. And so, but if he said he'll give his angels charge over you, he'll do just that. He'll give his angels charge and they'll protect you in everything you do. Praise God. He'll do exactly what he said. And you can expect it with great expectation. But in every one of these cases, you have a part. And your part is faith. Right? Faith, Joshua 1:8, in Joshua 1:8, this verse is a verse that shows you how to build faith into your heart. And what he says in his word. And as you walk in the light of his word and meditate in his word, that faith will grow in your heart to be able to see and to lay hold of what he said is yours. Many Christians, they read the Bible, but they don't stick with it long enough to get the picture. And so a picture I've never succeeded. Everything I've ever done, I tried to start this business. I tried to do that. It always failed, and I never succeeded, and so forth and so on. Or, you could go different ways on that. But God can change the picture on the inside. He can change the movie you're watching on the inside.
Yes.
I don't know if you understand what I'm talking about or not. For example, we have computers. And, computers sometimes, because the computer needs to be programmed, whatever programs are in there, different programs will do different things. And if you got a computer program that's, let's take a simple word processor on the computer, and you're typing and it's not putting the words up. Well, something's, you're not getting the right results out of that computer. Does that make any sense? So if it's not spitting out the right results, we realize that something's not right on the inside. The programming got corrupted or something, right? And so we have to reprogram the inside of the computer to keep getting, to be able to type and get the words to come, and so forth and so on. And so you should have that kind of thinking when it comes to the results that you keep getting in your life. If you keep getting wrong results, it's because the program needs to be reprogrammed.
Yes. Yes.
Amen. Yes. But you can rewrite the program. Amen. That keeps spitting out the wrong results. Joshua 1:8 is how you rewrite the program.
Yes. Right.
It's how you rewrite the program.
Right.
Amen. The program is to be programmed. Your inner man is to be programmed or trained or schooled, you can say it different ways, in the Word of God.
Yes. Yeah.
The Bible talks about as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. It also talks about guard your heart, Proverbs 4, 18 through 23. Guard your heart, out of it are the issues of life. That's talking about out of the program that gets on the inside of you. Guard what gets on the inside of you. Guard what pictures you have of yourself because of past experiences. And if those things are that the only thing you ever see is failure or defeat, or you never see success on the inside, that's going to keep you from failure, but you can reprogram that on the inside of you. Now, so this verse is how you do that. You can school your own mind and spirit out of the old programs that the enemy or past bad experiences could have put in you, and you can reschool it into God's program. Let's take condemnation, for example. I don't know about you, but I've missed it in times in the past. I've failed. I've come short of God's best for me and sinned and so forth and so on. But I'm sure nobody here is perfect. but right on the other hand, if I don't watch it, that condemnation.
Right.
How many of you know if you confess your sin, he's faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness? Yes. He'll cleanse you when you confess. But how many of you know the devil will come around with condemnation? And if you're not careful, he'll program you with, you're not worthy. You failed so many times. God's not going to be able to bless you. He's disappointed in you. He won't listen to your prayers because he's disappointed. All this stuff. And that program can keep going round and round on loop.
Come on.
I don't know if you know it, but the devil's got a video machine and he plays it on loop.
Yes,
And he'll just keep playing that. And if you don't watch it, he'll program your inner consciousness in condemnation and therefore in failure.
Yes.
But how many of you know Joshua 1:8 will reprogram the program?
Yes.
Hallelujah. So, you know, this is a big, big, big issue, actually. The school, you can school yourself into the Word of God. You can school yourself into righteousness.
Yes.
School yourself into success.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
Well, I thought you meant, I thought God does that. Remember Joshua 1:8? It's you and the Word.
Yes, sir.
It's you and the Word.
Mm-hmm.
You can school yourself, take the Word of God, and school yourself. Program your spirit, program your mind, your inner man, your inner thoughts, everything. Program all of that in the Word of God. Now, to do that, you have to focus on the Word of God.
Right.
And that's what that verse is saying. Focus on it. And don't let anything else, any other distraction, any other picture, any other past failure, any other, you know, don't let your own feelings program your inner consciousness. You have to set aside those things are just distractions.
That's right.
Amen. And you can school yourself into all the Word of God, including abundance.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. You can school yourself out of insecurity and self-awareness into the knowledge of who you are in Christ. Accepted in the Beloved. Favored. Amen. Bold and blessed and forgiven. Praise the Lord. That's a you know, insecurity and self-loathing and things like that. That's all an inner program that got in. But the Word of God will fix that.
Yes, it will.
It did it for me. God called me to preach, but I didn't like people. I didn't like hanging around people. I was insecure. You understand? And yet God called me to preach. Well, he's going to have to do some reprogramming. On his vessel that he wants to use. He's going to have to do some reprogramming. And he did. But before I got the Word of God programmed me correctly in the light of who he saw me to be, before that, if somebody didn't like me, I felt bad for myself. You know, I'm not worthy, this or that or whatever. But I got the Word of God in me and got the program of the Word of God into me. And when somebody didn't like me or accept me, I didn't feel bad for me anymore. I felt bad for them. What are you talking about? Well, they're missing a great blessing.
They are.
That's right.
Yeah.
Amen.
Well, that high, haughty preacher, who does he think he is? Same as you are, you're a great blessing.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Some of you are still thinking about it. I'm just going to keep preaching as if your face isn't saying that to me. Amen. But you can school yourself into these things.
Yes.
Amen. You can school yourself out of poverty thinking. Out of not having enough, and school yourself into abundance. You can school yourself into divine health and living long and succeeding and prospering in all that you put your hand to. Praise the Lord. You can school yourself into success and favor and increase and all these things. Amen. So everything is a process. Your spirit is the production center of your life. Whatever gets into your spirit, it will begin to produce that in your life. That's what Jesus meant in the parable of the sower. Whatever gets in there and starts growing, and gets planted and starts growing, it'll start producing.
Yes.
A seed that gets planted in the, you know, maybe you have a garden, or if not, you see them planting corn out here. They're getting that seed in the ground, and guess what? That's going to produce something.
Yes.
If you got a garden, you got tomatoes, that's going to produce tomatoes. Right?
Yes.
And that's what he's talking about. That's your spirit is the word of God is for your spirit, and the Word of God in your spirit will start producing something.
Yes.
And everything produces after its own kind.
Yes.
If you want healing, get healing seed planted in you.
Yes.
And you can just go down the Word of God. Anything you want, just get that planted on the inside of you. Now, Job really he got results out of what got planted in him. Remember Job's story? Job said eventually, after all of that destruction happened, the thing I greatly feared has come upon me. See, Job's most dominant thoughts grew until fear. In other words, fear grew until fear controlled his most dominant thoughts. Fear was his dominant thought. Notice he said, the thing I greatly feared. It wasn't just that a thought of fear came. It got planted in him and grew until it became great. And whenever it became great, that's when it brought the destruction. The thing he feared came upon him. And so it became dominant. Amen. And so he got, his spirit was his production center. He got what he feared. And then he began to speak his fear. We understand that his speaking fear was involved. But so as he spoke it, he built fear into his spirit. And the thing he feared began to come to him. Fear got inside of him, and then it grew until it began to produce after itself. Now go over to Psalm 77, verse number 3. I got so much on the inside, I'm going to believe God to get this out this morning.
Amen.
Psalm 77, verse number 3, a verse the Lord showed me years ago. Psalm 77, verse number 3, I remembered God and was troubled. Now, if you look at the whole context, he was talking about seeing others, doing well and so forth. And then he remembered the fact he's walking with God and he's not seeing the results that he wanted to see. And so it really bothered him. That's what he's talking about there. I remembered God and was troubled. Then he said, I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. Say it out loud. I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. Psalm 77, verse 3. Did I get it right? So notice, I complain. Now, when you complain, you're saying something with your mouth, right? Whenever you say, it's always with your mouth. Now, he said, I complained. And notice, he said, let's put it this way. I complained. In other words, what I said with my mouth affected my spirit. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
He complained and his spirit, in other words, it affected his spirit. How did complaining affect his spirit? It just brought him into overwhelm. People that are overwhelmed, they say things like this. All these things are against me. This is happening. That's happening. The economy's bad, and this is happening. My husband's mad, and this is happening. And kids are, And you start talking about all those things, and it'll affect your spirit in that it'll just overwhelm you. Can you see that? In other words, your words affect your own spirit. In other words, your spirit can be schooled into something by what you continually say, including what you meditate in, according to Joshua 1:8. So notice he didn't say what others said overwhelmed me. Now, don't misunderstand me. Other people's words can overwhelm you if you listen to them. I'm not saying that's not true. But notice he said, my words affected my spirit.
Yeah.
Do you see that? Notice the effect of his words on his own spirit. There is nobody can say anything that will affect you as much as what you say. The effect of your own words on your own spirit is greater than any of us have dared imagine. So don't wait for somebody else. See, let's say it this way. If his words will affect his spirit in one direction, in the wrong direction, overwhelm, discouragement, whatever thoughts came with that. If it affected it in one way, how many of you know right words would affect it in the right direction? You can have all kinds of thoughts coming against you, but you can turn to the Word of God, meditate in it, and say, I believe the Bible. None of these things. Greater is he that's in me, and no weapon formed against me will prosper. And you start saying that, and it'll affect your spirit in a totally different way and build your spirit up in faith. I've had people tell me, I read the Bible to them or encourage them along the lines of the Word, and they'll say, I just don't believe that. And I said, but here's the thing. You have access to your own spirit, and you can change what you believe. Your belief is not imposed on you against your will.
That's
You can take the Word of God and change what you believe. You can school your own spirit into the Word of God. Now, we have record of the woman with the issue of blood actually did that. King James doesn't bring it out, but the Greek does. The Greek is very clear about it, and then the Amplified is very accurate about it. It says that when she had heard of Jesus, she came in the press behind and said, "For she said, if I touch his clothes, I'll be whole." The Bible says in the Greek, and then the Amplified brings it out, "For she kept saying."
Kept saying.
Kept saying. It's important what you say. Because what you say, you're going to hear. And faith comes by hearing. And so she kept saying, what's she doing? She's schooling faith into her own spirit.
Amen.
She's schooling her own spirit into faith.
Glory to God.
You can school your own spirit. Your own mouth can school your own spirit.
That's right.
Well, I don't even believe the Bible. Well, you can change that by schooling yourself into a belief. Take the Word of God, meditate on it, and mutter it and say it. Hallelujah. So don't wait for somebody else to school you into faith. Amen? You're the steward of your own spirit. Learn to school yourself into the right things, believing the right things. Well, how do you do that? You focus on the Word of God, and you keep saying that. If your focus is on the reports of the world, you know, they got expectations for our economy out there right now. You can't focus on that. That's not your economy, that's their economy. Did you know that? Your economy is what you do with the Word. That's your economy. Hallelujah. I'm going to go listen to this myself because the Lord's helping me to preach this. And you might think Pastor's doing a good job, but really he's helping me this morning.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And so the effect of your own words on your own spirit. Now, faith comes by hearing, but it's important that you not just depend on other people to say what the Word says for faith to come to you. How about you say what the Word says? That's what Joshua 1:8 is telling you to do. You say what the Word of God says. And you're more likely to believe what you say than out of your own mouth than what anybody else says.
Yeah.
You really are. You'll actually believe yourself more than you'll believe anybody else.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Amen. Now, you remember John 14:27 says, "Let not your heart be troubled." Don't let your heart be troubled. "Neither let it be afraid." You know, so in verses like that in the Bible, don't do this, don't do that, don't let that happen. Don't let your heart be troubled. Notice how apparently you and I can do that. Apparently we can keep things out of our hearts, or apparently we can build things into our hearts. And he said, don't let your heart be troubled. He's saying, don't school yourself in that. Don't let that in, because it'll come. Trouble will come. But you can determine whether you let it in. So when he says, don't let your heart be troubled, don't let it be afraid, one thing is stop talking fear.
Yeah.
Stop talking trouble.
Hello.
Yeah.
Here's one, because the Lord dealt with me and corrected me on this. That's how I know this one. Because I used to say, people come up and say, how you doing? I'd say, oh, just busy. I got this going. God, just so busy, just so busy. And I was always talking busy. And I never seemed to get anything done. Busy, just busy, just busy, just busy. Mm-hmm. And the Lord said to me one time, he said, why do you keep saying that you're busy? He said, why don't you say that, I'm efficient and I accomplish what I set out to do.
Yeah.
But people school themselves in being busy. And so they never have enough time. But if the Lord created 12 more hours and then it wasn't 24 hours in a day, 36 hours of the day, they'd fill that up and still be busy.
Yeah.
It's not that you don't have time. It's that you're saying the wrong things. You've schooled your spirit in being busy. Well, praise the Lord. Anybody else getting any help like me? Sometimes I get convicted by my own preaching, but I just keep smiling. Nobody knows it. If you keep smiling, we won't know it's you either. Hallelujah. Psalm 73 is basically saying whatever you keep saying, it gets established in your spirit. You keep saying anxiety, anxiety will overwhelm you. You'll school your spirit in anxiety. You establish anxiety in yourself. Your words can give birth to things.
Right.
Wrong words give birth to fear.
That's right.
Right words give birth to faith, right? And build faith into your spirit. And so notice there in Psalm 77:3, there was his own words, like I said. His own words affected his spirit. And so don't wait Well, I just have trouble, you know, I don't seem to be strong in faith. School yourself into a strong faith.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So, it's good news that other people's words, or let's put it this way, your own words can cancel out the effect of other people's words. Other people can try to speak things over you, but their words are most, they're not the highest authority in your life. Your own words are the highest authority in your life. Jesus didn't say, though, that you'll have what they say. He said, you'll have what you say in Mark 11, 23.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen?
He said, you'll have what you say. Your words are higher in authority than anyone else's.
That's true.
And you can cancel out the effect of their words and the effect that the enemy intended for their words to have, and you can have what you say.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes,
hallelujah. Amen. Your words have greater authority than anyone else's. Now, that's good news, because otherwise you'd be a victim to whatever somebody else said. The doctor might say 6 months, but that doesn't mean his word is final word. You can school your spirit into with long life. With long life, I'll satisfy you and show you my salvation. And his words are higher authority in your life than any doctor's words. Now, we're not saying the doctor's not telling you what he sees in the natural. He sees something in the natural. And the natural is a natural fact. But there's something higher than natural facts. It's called truth. The truth is you're redeemed from the curse of the law. The truth is your covenant. And saying what the covenant says will cancel out natural facts.
Hallelujah.
God had Abraham calling himself a father of a multitude when natural facts said there's no way.
That's right.
You haven't even had children in your younger years. Sarah was barren. But in their past years of childbearing, and God said, come here, daddy. You're a daddy. I'm making you a daddy.
That's right.
I call you the father of many nations. He wasn't denying natural realities. He was just turning away from the distraction of natural facts until the truth of the covenant and seeing what his potential is and laying hold of the potential, and he had good success.
Hallelujah.
I mean, they started multiplying like rabbits. Abraham had a son, Isaac, and then you remember all the multiplication, Jacob and all his boys, and woo, they took off multiplying.
Praise
Hallelujah, and exactly what God said came to pass, in spite of natural facts. There's something higher than natural facts. Amen. So that's good news, because whenever somebody says something over your life that's not in line with the word, you can cancel that out. Or you can keep that from getting into your spirit by what you say.
Yes. Amen.
Now, you don't always have to correct. Sometimes people say, if the doctor says, oh, I only gave you 6 months, you don't have to correct the doctor. He probably doesn't even know what you're talking about. You can if you have it in your heart to. You can just say, well, you know, I'm a believer and I have a covenant with long life. He'll say, you can say that if you'd like, but how many of you know some of them will just kind of poo-poo you?
Yeah, that's right.
And so it's not before the doctor that you have faith. It's before your God that you have faith. So you might walk out of there if you're not led to say anything right then. You might say something. I'm not saying it's wrong to say something, but you could walk out of there and say, yeah, thank God for my covenant. Thank God. I'm turning my focus back to my covenant.
Yes, amen.
Whew, my. See, to listen to what everybody else says or what their opinion is or what natural facts tell you or your past experiences, or, you know, your daddy had this and he died at 70, and your uncle had this and he died at 70. Now here you are, and they're telling you you're going to die before 70. To turn to that and look at all of that is to forsake what is available to you in your covenant. So what you focus on matters. Joshua 1:8 tells you what to focus on. Focus on what he said. There's a battle going on, and it's not between God and the devil. It's between truth and lies.
Yes.
It's between what's going to create the image on the inside. See, the doctors can tell you 6 months, and if you're not careful, the devil will paint a whole picture of you dying in 6 months. He'll show you, this month I'm going to do this with my children because it's going to be my last opportunity to do that with my children and all that. And before you know it, he's created an image on the inside of you of exactly what the doctor said, and he's got you.
There it is.
Why don't you take the principle of Joshua 1? You actually use the principle of Joshua 1:8, just use it in reverse against yourself when you did that. Why don't you take Joshua 1:8 and take the word of God and create a whole nother scene, a whole scene of you growing old and your grandchildren growing up with you and you having a long life. Amen, amen, amen. Praise God. So you can do that. Now, you can just write these verses down for time's sake. Proverbs 7, 2 through 3, and Proverbs 3, verse number 3. Proverbs 7, verses 2 through 3, and Proverbs 3, verse number 3. Both of those talk about writing, if you look at the context, it's the Word of God, writing the Word of God on your heart. Yeah. Yeah. To write something on your heart means to school yourself into it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
Don't school yourself into condemnation. Write the Word of God. Write the righteousness of God on your heart. I don't mean you're not righteous, but I mean write that on your inner consciousness. Yeah. To where that's the picture you have of you. Hallelujah. Accept it. When I pray, he hears me.
Yes.
Hallelujah. I've got access to the throne of God. My past is gone. I'm in right standing with God.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. Now, don't speak your feelings. Sometimes you feel unworthy. Don't talk about how you feel. Amen. Talk about what the Word of God says.
Yeah.
If you feel one way and God's word says you're something else, let's just take unworthiness. If you feel unworthy and God says, I cleansed you of all unrighteousness, now you're in right standing with me. If you feel one way and God says something else, somebody's wrong about this.
Come on.
Right.
Let's try to figure out who's wrong. Let's see. We've got two choices. Amen. Hallelujah. You know I'm having more fun than you. I'm just enjoying this. Praise God. So take the Word of God, dip your tongue in the Word of God, and get some ink to write on the table of your heart, and write on there blessing, write success, write long life, write favor, write healing, write righteousness, write whatever you need to, whatever the Word of God says, just write it on your consciousness. And don't wait for somebody else to school you into it. Now, Mark 4:19 in the Amplified Classic. This is in the parable of the sower. It says, remember the different kinds of ground, and then the one kind of ground is a thorny ground, and Jesus described what that was. It was the cares of this life. King James says, cares of life, deceitfulness of riches, lust of other things entering in, and choke the word. You know, the enemy wants to choke out the word of God in your life. The Amplified says, I am referring to the Amplified Classic. Mark 4:19, it rather than say cares of this life, what does it say? The distractions of this age or something. The distractions of this age.
Yes.
Distractions are anything that pull your focus off of what God said.
That's right.
Distractions of this age. Distractions of this age. If we're distracted, we're not focused. That's the word that keeps coming to me this morning. I want to finish that up. If we're distracted, we're not focused. Focus means you're keeping your eyes and your attention on something and remaining there until you comprehend what it's saying or you see something. Have you ever seen these holograms that people will put out? Sometimes you see them on the internet sometimes, and at first glance, there's nothing there. It's just a bunch of dots. But they tell you to move it away, close your eyes or something like that, and then open your eyes. And have you ever done that? And after you did that, you're like, well, right, there's the face of Jesus or something, whatever. So they'll do different things, you know. You ever seen that?
Yes.
Well, that's the way the Word of God is.
Yeah.
There's things in the Word of God
that
God wants you to see. But you have to focus on it.
Focus
enables you to see it.
Yes.
And focus, really, to be honest with you, starts moving you towards the fulfillment of what you see.
Yes. Praise God.
It's like a vehicle you get in to go somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you focus your attention on something, it focuses your faith.
Right. Yes, sir.
Yes.
Amen.
That's good.
So learn to focus on the Word of God and the promises of God and do that until you can see what God is saying. The Word of God is alive. It'll talk to you.
Yes.
The Holy Spirit will take it and talk to you. And so this is one of the most important success skills ever. This is one of the most important success skills ever. Joshua 1:8. He ended up saying, this will give you good success. But focus is really what he's talking about. Focusing on the what God's Word says, and it has success in it. You'll see that success. Amen? And so it's important that you stay focused on God's Word. So Satan can't, because remember in the parable of the sower, one of the kinds of ground, Satan came immediately to take the Word. Focus keeps him from taking the Word. What I'm preaching this morning is going to be, Satan's going to come for it. You might not even get home.
Yeah, that's true.
He's going to try to distract you from what was preached. And he'll try to hold you there all week until you get back in service again or something, until you hear the Word of God. And then all of a sudden you're like, oh, that's right. My. This is what my covenant says.
Yeah.
And he's good at keeping things, distractions, bombarding you. Amen. Or yakety yak yak over here, or something that happens over here that tries to tell you you're a failure, or reminding you of your past. Woo, this is good preaching. I'm preaching to myself this morning. And so distractions means you get your focus on something else, including the report of the Word. You'll never build strong faith to succeed listening to the news media talking about the economy. They've always got something to be afraid about.
Yeah, true.
And if you listen to them, you'll never do anything.
That's right.
Tell your neighbor he's preaching to maybe somebody behind us. Now think about this. I'm going to wrap this up in just a few minutes. Your heart can't really embrace a truth that you're not focused on.
Yeah, that's good.
Or let's put it this way, that you're distracted from. Your heart really can't embrace it. It really can't take it in. It really can't grasp the true revelation of it. Amen. Focus is an art that you must develop. It's a skill, so to speak. It should be one of your, it's one of the greatest assistants to faith that there is. It's staying focused, refusing to be distracted from what God said in the presence of distractions.
That's right.
Yeah.
Amen. It's really a spiritual skill. It's a discipline, so to speak. It's a matter of your mind and how controlled your thought life is. Amen. Many times whenever I'm believing God for something, I'll get a picture of it and put it up on somewhere where I'm looking at it all the time. Or like when we believe in God for the airplane that we're using to go back and forth between the churches, I had a model made. And I looked at that. Amen. What am I doing? I'm helping reinforce what God said to me. Because whenever we prayed and he said some things about aviation, it kept getting clearer and clearer. It came down to the kind that we were, that was going to be best for us, and we had a piece about. And so that's the kind I wanted to keep looking at. So I keep looking at pictures online and you know, models and stuff like that. I'd look at them at the airport. We'd fly down here in this little putt-putt that we had before this one. And we'd fly in, and there's usually Beechcraft Bonanza, usually two of them sitting in the hangar. And I didn't go to the car. I'm walking over to the hangar. And I'm just getting that on the inside of me. Everybody say, get it on the inside of you.
Get it on the inside of me.
I'd get the nose of it in one wing, and there'd be one tail, I mean the tail and one wing sticking out. I didn't get it all the way in, but eventually it got on the inside of me.
Praise God.
Just through my attention staying on what God said. Hallelujah. And today we're flying in completely paid for. Hallelujah. A farm boy from Pennsylvania. Got a high school education. It's not about where you came from. It's about who he made you. Praise be to God. Now, I got to tell you, there's so much we could say about that. But I have a minister friend, traveling minister friend, he told a story. Any reason he told it, normally these kinds of stories you wouldn't tell about people because, you know, you don't want to embarrass them or anything like that. But because of what happened, he actually ended up telling the story. The story is of his cousin. He had a cousin that was kind of came up in church, but then and was taught walking by faith and the Word of God and redemptive rights and, you know, divine healing and things like that. But kind of got away from it and wasn't really going to church. You know how people are. So we, this minister was telling the story, and he said this cousin of his got diagnosed with terminal cancer. Well, he didn't say it was cancer. It was some sort of terminal disease. I think it was cancer, but I'm not sure about that. But anyway, so this diagnosis didn't give her a lot of time to live. Well, she said, my goodness, I remembered that I'm a covenant daughter, child of God. Mm-hmm. I'm a Christian. And so she's like, well, where are all those recordings that I used to listen to? Where's all those books that I used to feed my faith on? And she got them out to, get back into the Word. Thank God. I mean, that's the thing to do. She's not old enough to die. The Bible says, with a long life, I'll satisfy you, right? And so she did that. But she was really, quite to be honest, she's quite distracted by, she would get in the Word, and because of her undisciplined thought life, and which had been undisciplined before this, because of that undisciplined thought life, to just focus on the Word of God was a big challenge. And she found herself, she tried to focus on the Word of God and get distracted with social media, get distracted with emails, get distracted with other things. And so she'd be in the Word of God for 5 minutes and get distracted. And she kept doing that and kept doing that and kept doing that. She would sit down to meditate on the Word of God, feed her spirit, and before she knew it, her mind is tired. She can't focus like she should. And so she'd get distracted and she'd turn to something for entertainment. She's going to watch, you know, YouTube for a few minutes, and then she'd get back in the Word. But she found herself, caught herself after 2 hours of watching YouTube and realized, my goodness, I totally got distracted. Now, and then she would try to get back. But because she was so undisciplined, she did that for day after day, week after week after week, and never did really get the Word of God planted in her. And she passed on. Well, thank God she made heaven. She's a Christian.
Yes. Yeah.
You understand? But how many of you know she, you don't know until I tell you the story. But she went to heaven and this minister friend of mine was praying after her passing, not for her, of course, but just talking to God, and all of a sudden had an experience where he went into the Spirit and was caught up to heaven. And whenever he was caught up to heaven, he saw Jesus and his cousin talking. And Jesus, when he walked up, this minister that had the vision, whenever he walked up, he heard Jesus saying, my, you're here early to this lady. I have a covenant with you of divine healing. You didn't have to come this early. Now, you understand he's talking to someone who knew what the Word of God said. Some people don't know that.
Right.
And so that's a different deal. But here he's talking to someone that knew this. So don't take that wrong, you know. She said, and she realized how short she came of what was available to her, and that her life was cut short because of distractions.
Yes, sir.
Everybody say distractions.
Distractions.
And this lady in the vision turned to this minister friend of mine and said, go warn people and tell them not to do what I did. So that's the reason he told the story. Normally you wouldn't tell that kind of story with that kind of detail.
Yeah.
Well, I told my minister friend, I said, you know, if she wants that told, I know Jesus wants it told. That's the main thing. We're talking about the Word of God.
Yeah.
But if she wants that told, I'll help you tell them.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll help you get the Word out.
Yeah.
They say today, because of technology and because of the amount of information that is bombarding our minds with all the technology, social media, emails, all this. I mean, you can know anything you want to know at the just a couple clicks of the finger. Because of that kind of technology, they say the attention span of the average American adult today, now children are different, you understand, but the average American adult today, their attention span is about 8.25 seconds. And it's decreased. Within the last 20 years, it has decreased, I think they said 20%, 20 or 30%. In other words, because we are inundated with so much information, we might be focused on this one thing, and a notification pops up on our device about this thing. And then before you know it, something else is popping up over here about the news. And then something else is popping up over here about the stock market. And then something else is popping up in the, over here about some latest movie or something. And because people aren't used to anymore focusing on one thing without a distraction for very long, and because these things, there's things just bombarding their attention all the time, just inundating their attention, it has reduced their attention span down. And the enemy is using that to keep them out of Joshua 1:8.
Yes. Yes, sir.
Y'all still glad you came to church this morning?
Yes. Amen.
We've got to change that.
Yes.
Those are distractions.
Yeah.
Now, there's things that I use the internet to research and do, and, you know, I have responsibilities. You understand. We're not trying to be religious about this, like you can't ever look at the news or whatever. But we do need to learn to focus our attention on the Word of God until our heart is satisfied. And the realities of it come clear, and we say, I see it, I got it, I'm going to walk in the light of it. Do you get anything out of the Word this morning? And so it's been scientifically proved that what I just said about all the bombardment of information from divergent directions, you know, it's been scientifically proved that that has actually caused memory loss in most adults because they don't actually focus on it to actually comprehend it. Short videos on YouTube are real popular now. Why? Because nobody wants to watch anything for an hour.
Yeah. Right.
But you need to learn to meditate. I'm not going to put a religious timeline on you, but learn to meditate until your heart is satisfied. Well, I'm not there. Maybe my attention span's real short. Start where you are and believe God to start increasing it and increasing it. Amen. And learned the one of the greatest keys of success. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. I'll wrap this up with Numbers 21, verse number 9. Numbers 21, verse number 9. There, you remember when God told Moses, because the snakes had, they complained and the snakes came in and bit them, poisonous snakes. And the Bible says God told Moses, put a serpent of brass, on a pole. And bronze, yes. And whoever looks will live. You remember that? And Jesus used that passage in John 3 to talk about, as Moses lifted up the serpent, so the Son of Man will be lifted up to whosoever believeth on him. So looking is believing.
Yes. Right. Yes.
Keeping your eyes on what he did for you on the cross and focusing on that without distraction is believing. Now, you can believe on him for salvation, but you can also go to the backside of the cross and see there are stripes on his back. And you can look and live physically. That's what happened in the Old Testament. They looked and lived physically from poisonous snake bites. Anyway, so, that passage in Numbers 21, verse number 9, I believe, in the Amplified. Write on your notes, Amplified Classic, because it talks about looking with a steadfast, absorbing gaze. A gaze is not a glance. A gaze is not a short reel. Amen. A gaze is something that you absorb the meaning and the redemptive realities of what that means, that Jesus hung on that cross in your place.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Yes, focus. That's what it is. Focus. 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 Glory to God. Did you get anything out of the Word this morning? Stand up with me. Thank you, Lord Jesus. God has been talking to me about distractions so much. Thank God for his help. Amen. The Bible says, looking as in the mirror, as 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18, looking as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord were changed. That's a transformation. God wants you to have your own transformation. Transformation. Transfiguration, you might say. From failure to success. Hallelujah. Father, thank you today for your word. Thank you for these precious people that are hungry for it. Hungry to hear so they can do. Father, I thank you today for answers from things that have dogged our lives, how to escape those things and walk in the victory that you've made ours. Today, Father, we say yes to what the Spirit of God is saying to our hearts. We spoke of things in general, Father, but you took what was said and tailored it to each one of us and spoke to us, I'm sure, about specifics of what it means for our lives, what it is that we should set aside here or set aside there. Hallelujah. Thank you for making success completely available to us in all arenas of life. And thank you for showing us how to walk in it. Father, we're not just hearers, but we're doers. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Hallelujah. Let's just lift our hands for a moment and worship him today. Thank you today, Lord. Hallelujah. We worship you. We worship you. We worship you. We worship you. We worship you, we worship you, we worship you, Father. Thank you for your faithfulness to us. We make any adjustments that you're dealing with us about. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. If you would like prayer today for healing, someone came, they wanted me to lay hands on a cloth. So if you want to have a cloth brought forward, or if you'd like hands laid on you for healing, then make your way forward if you would. We'll do that. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. So you're going to come and it's going to be a point of contact, right? A time where we say, this is where I believe God's word. I release my faith. Praise God. Hallelujah. Anyone else before we begin? In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Father, thank you. This lady's a Christian, right? Thank you for this dear sister that Pia is bringing this cloth for. Father, I take my hands and lay them on them, this cloth, so that the power that you've anointed us with will go into the cloth and drive that disease, drive that infirmity out of her body in the name of Jesus. And we agree together that as soon as it touches her, the power that's in this cloth will go into her body and drive that out of her body. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. We've had healed. Thank you, Pia, for bringing that. We've had people in the last just a couple of weeks healed of tumor. A lady that had a, what did she say? No, it wasn't basketball size. Baseball size? Grapefruit. That's what she said. Grapefruit size tumor. Completely healed. Hallelujah. Just in the last couple of weeks. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And other people healed of other things and some tremendous miracles. Hallelujah. So we're believing God for that for you as well. Glory to God. I'm glad I came to church today. Hallelujah. Amen, amen.